Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast. We're hosted by Kendall and Jackie. And here we talk about everything, well, horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and also the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, the tropes, and new episodes are launched every Monday.
And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Terra Nova Pod. And more importantly, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog too. Cujo.
Yo, bruv, how you doing?
What up, mate?
You got me feeling vexed, bro. What are we going to do? You want to do something about it? Yeah. This is my block. It's not your block. It's my block.
That's the most British I can go into unless I watch a marathon of Harry Potter film. That's the most you're going to get out of me. I can't. I can't do a full sentence.
Oh, I know that feeling. I can't do that shit at all either. It sounds great. I watch a lot of BBC shows, but I ain't got that accent. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's so strong. And it's just like, I can't. You guys sound so fancy. I don't sound fancy. I sound average.
We could take a few classes on it if we really wanted to get it.
I would definitely like to curse someone out in a fancy way. The most I can say is bollocks. So I'm just like, kiss my bollocks. That's about it. That's the most I can say. Or call somebody a wanker. Like, you wanker.
Yeah, something about wanker just, it sounds funny, but also really, really offensive at the same time.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, yes.
Well, aside from my little intro, today we're talking about, drum roll, please. We're talking about the movie, the 2011 film Attack the Block with my man John Boyega.
Whoop, 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 whoop,
whoop. Whoop, whoop.
I have to get that as an actual sound effect on my phone. So that way when we do like mic drops, I'll play that whole like, you know, I gotta do that.
Just like listen to Hot 97 and record it for like 5 minutes. I'm sure it'll pop up.
You're listening to Terra Nova. Waka waka waka.
I can see people now. They're like, yo, man, them mic drops, them beat drops. Oh, them drinks is killer. People are like, dude, this is a podcast. We ain't come here to make music. I'm getting pretty good at the sound editing stuff. We can. But yeah, Attack the Block, 2011. So excited to talk about this movie. You can call it a continuing part of our celebration of just awesome black cinema, black horror. This is right up there. So this is so dope. Before we get into first impressions, because I can't wait to hear what Jackie has to say, because it's a movie that she's actually never seen before, which is rare if you've listened to this podcast. She's seen every goddamn film, including films I haven't. So it's kind of cool to show her one that she hasn't seen. So let me get into the plot real quick, and then we'll chum it up, you know? Okay, so Attack the Block, for those who haven't seen the movie or even heard of the movie. Apparently, this was John Boyega's first big role. I will get you the director's name in a moment, but the plot for the movie is pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome, pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Basically, a bunch of neighborhood kids, you could call them neighborhood stick-up kids, that's kind of how I thought of them. They stick up this lady at the beginning of the film, they rob this white woman, they mug her, take her purse and stuff like that, and in the middle of the robbery, alien crashes down onto the car right next to them, and they're so hyped up by what they're seeing that they're like, oh, snap, let's go jump it. And they go jump an alien. And they track it down. They jump an alien, stomping out, and kill it. And they're so excited to tell, like, their, I guess you could call higher-ups at their illegal gig or their friends about what they've done. And then after that happens, literally a full-out alien invasion happens on this one block in London. And aliens just start falling from everywhere. They just keep... they're popping up all over the place. The police are looking for Moses and his group of friends because they robbed a lady. She called the police on them. So the police officers are looking for them. Meanwhile, it's in the middle of an alien invasion that's happening all within this London block. And him and his friends are trying to fight it off the best they can. And along the way, they actually end up partnering with the very woman that they robbed at the beginning of the film. And it kind of becomes a bit of a really unique partnership where she kind of looks at them differently than what she first thought of them when they robbed her. And they even kind of look at her differently based on how she treats them and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just an all-out experience. It's with characters that you normally don't really get to see kind of shine, because you could say these kids are like essentially from the hood. So you really don't get to see characters like that be shown in like a positive light, or even just human beyond like, you know, with any misfortune or deeds that kind of come their way. So it's a really fun action horror film. Really go around. The cast is great. The kids are great. The lady that they actually stick up is Doctor Who in like one of the current seasons now. So it's really great cast. Everyone in the show kind of, I mean, this movie kind of went on to be a big thing. But yeah, it's pretty much the plot. The alien invasion. Kids have to stick it out, and they do. And they fight the aliens and kick ass. And John Boyega and them save the day. So, Jackie.
Yes.
How you like the movie?
I really liked it. I've never seen it. And I know Kendall is gloating about this right now, because I always shit talk him for not watching movies I've seen. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I like the title. Like when the movie first starts and you see the title of the name itself when it pops up, it totally gave me like Mars Attack vibes. And I was just like, oh, Mars Attack. Because it reminded me of that. And yeah, this movie is like kind of similar to how like when we're talking about Tales from the Hood, like this movie was so much more than just an alien movie. You know, it was so much more than just a horror movie as well. Because like these kids were not just fighting, you know, other guys, like other gang guys was trying to get at them. They're trying to go against the cops, you know, everything. I think that's why I liked it a lot too, because it was more than just a monster film. So I think that's also why I enjoyed it. And yeah, John Boyega, man, his first film. I cannot believe that. I'm like, wow, his first freaking film. He was so good in it too. And I'm just like, wow. And yeah, the kids were great. The kids were great. Watching it reminded me of like, it gave me the Goonie vibes. You know, the now that we have Stranger Things gave me that. And the Warriors. I read an article about how they said how like this kind of had the same element as the Warriors, the sensation that they had. And yeah, it was really good. I liked it. Good job, Kendall.
Yes, this movie's dope. This movie is really good. I remember the person who actually recommended this movie to me had her on, Britt. Britt was the one who actually told me about this movie.
Oh.
When me and her were working together.
Nice.
Yeah. I forgot how we even... I think it might have been because it was when around the time Star Wars came out, Force Awakens, because, you know, that was when John Boyega was first introduced to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And he popped up in that, and I remember I was like, oh, man, I ain't gonna lie, 100%. I was like, this is the only reason I'm watching a Star Wars movie, because there's a black dude in it. Like, that's dope. Like, I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan by any means. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't hate the world. I'm just not a big fan of it. But when he popped up in the trailer for the Star Wars movie, I was like, yeah, I'm in here. I'm gonna check this out. I gotta do this one just because of that. That's awesome. And I think me and Britt were talking about it at one point, and she was like, oh, he's also in this other film called Attack the Block. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I was like, I haven't, but that title sounds dope. And that was how I was first introduced to it. And I was a big fan of it from that point going forward. So what you said, it is very much like the Goonies, kind of like, I joked it's called it like the hood version of Monster Squad, if you've ever seen Monster Squad. Kind of like Monster Squad, Stranger Things, and all of that. It's a good movie, man. It's a really fun, all-around movie. Well thought. I know they supposedly said they had a small budget, but it don't feel like it, to tell you the truth. It feels really authentic. The movie it's dope. It's a great film. I really, really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, the creatures. Like, I would never have guessed that it was a small budget, the way the creatures looked. Like, that's where all their budget went to, let's be real. If that's the case. It all went to the creatures. And they looked really cool and creepy and crazy. Like, oh, God. It was just such a good movie.
Tell me about some of your favorite scenes.
I actually wrote it down, too. My favorite scene has to be, like, the car chase when they, after they find Moses, after, you know, the nurse kind of snitched, you know, about who it was that robbed her and shit. And the cops were just like, oh, you're coming with me. And the creatures start attacking. They attack the police officers. And then, you know, one of his homies, who was it, Dennis, he comes in.
Yeah, Dennis with the sword.
Yeah, he takes the car. And they have that whole epic car chase running from the creatures. Oh, my God. That was so dope. But even before that, when the kids kind of, like, threw the firecrackers underneath the car to try. Because, you know, the creatures, like, don't like bright lights, apparently. Oh my God, that whole scene was so cool. I was like, yo, this is so epic. And then the music behind it, it had a good score. This movie had a really great musical score and soundtrack. It was so good. Like, but that is probably my favorite scene.
Yeah, I love that scene too. That scene was dope. I guess it kind of hit me now, but I guess it was probably part of the reason I like this movie to begin with. I love his friends, his group of friends. Like this movie reminds me so much of like my own childhood mm-hmm. and like kind of where I grew up. And honestly, every way, like I wasn't a stick up kid or anything like that. Like these kids are. I was like fortunate to never be in those kind of situations or have to do anything like that. But just like how like loyal they kind of were to each other and how they stood by each other for everything was like really cool. Mm-hmm. Like the scene that cracked me up, which was like really good, but so fucking funny. The scene like right after that, the scene you're talking about where they actually have the car chase and all of that stuff, getting away from the aliens. And then they crash into like the head drug dealer's car. Mm-hmm. And the drug dealer dude freaks out because they're in a police car. So he freaks out like, oh, shit, I crashed into the cops. So he started driving back. And then his partner in the passenger seat is like, hold on, that's not the cops, man. That's Moses and those guys. And he was like, oh, I'm going to kill these kids. And he gets out with his gun to go argue with them. And they're like, oh, man, yo, we got to get out of here like this. Moses was like, I mean, no disrespect. I mean, nothing by it. Like, that was not intentional that we crashed into you. We were literally getting chased by aliens. And he was like, so all this, you going to mess up my car. You going to ruin my beautiful car. You going to mess all this up. And you going to tell me about some damn aliens? Like, I don't want to hear nothing about no aliens. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, no, I'm serious. And then, you know, the guy pulled his gun up because he was going to shoot Moses. And his friend, I believe it might have been Pest or it might have been Biggs. I think it was Biggs. Yeah, Biggs, he stepped forward and he was like, bruv, no disrespect. I know you don't want to hear this, but there's definitely aliens. Like, don't you think we'd come up with a better excuse for crashing into you than aliens? Like, that's really what happened. Like, I just love how they kind of took up for Moses in that moment. It was really cool.
Yeah, I like how, like, when he was about to, like, try to attempt to shoot Moses, they all got in front of him with all their weapons. And they're like, oh, really? He was like, oh, really?
But yeah, he was like, y'all gonna turn your weapons on me?
Yeah, that was dope. Yeah, like, I do like their friendship, too. Like, they all were there for each other. It was mad dope. They all had, like, they all had a plan. They all had a plan, you know, to save the block. And that's exactly what they did. You know, they all came together. Some of them, you know, lost their lives at it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I really like the, I like how it wasn't a gory film, either. It has some bits of it, but it wasn't, like, in your face. And I like mm-hmm. how it was more of like a sci-fi slash, I don't want to say slice of life, but it was like sci-fi slash action slash horror slash political. Like, it was all that in one. And I like how the little bits of like the gore, you know, it was subtle. And I like that. I like what movies do, because it's hard to do that with certain movies where it's like very little blood. Like, some movies can pull it off and some can't at all, and it ends up being a boring-ass movie. This one, they did a good job with that. Like, they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, for sure. I was super happy about that, too. Like, the blood could have easily kind of, you know, overdid everything, but they kind of did just enough. Mm-hmm. Before we get to some other questions, I want to just laugh about one thing. That kid, the white kid who just went there to kind of hang out and do drugs. I forgot his name. He was cracking me up the entire film because he wasn't directly involved with anything, but everything just kept happening right in front of him, and he just did not know how to handle it.
Wait, you mean Bruce? Was it Bruce?
I think that was his name, Bruce.
The zoologist that knew all the stuff about the animals?
Yes.
Yeah. He was, oh my God. I was watching this with Armin. And every time something was happening, I was just like, the way he looks, he didn't even say the line yet, but the way he looks, I was like, I could tell this guy in his mind, he says, I'm too high for this shit. And he actually said it. Later on, he was just like, I'm too high for this shit. I was like, oh, he said it.
Yeah, he was totally just always in the wrong place at the worst possible time. he was too funny. Like, he cracked me up. I loved when they first even introduced him. They were playing one of my favorite KRS songs, The Sound of the Police. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, the music is bumping mad hard. And you kind of think it's like maybe just like the background music for the scene, but it's actually him listening on his headphones. Mm-hmm. And I like how they cut it with like his phone rings and he takes his headphones out. And he's like, oh, hey, he's talking to like, I think his father or something. Mm-hmm. And then when Moses and them came in, he was like all kind of buttoned up, kind of scared. Like, he didn't really know what to do.
Mm-hmm. That movie was hilarious. He was a comic relief character. I mean, they all were funny in their own way, but yeah, he was like the comic relief of the whole entire movie.
Yeah, word. I guess like my first question, what do you just based on different things that people said about the movie, stuff like that. It's been out for almost a decade now, so you know everybody got opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this group of kids like Moses and them, they're basically stick up kids. That's what you call them if you're like from areas like this. We call them stick up kids. But do you think they're like bad people by any means?
No, because I grew up. I mean, I'm still around the area with people like that. No. Because like, it's not really their fault. You know, society kind of like grooms people like that. You know, it's not really that they do it because they want to. It's because they have no choice but to most of the time survive, make ends meet. It's unfortunate, but that is how it is. You know, society says that. Society basically tells you from a young age in areas like that that you're not going to amount to anything but this. And no matter how much you try to fight that and go against it, it's like it's so hard to the point that you're just like, fuck it. I guess what I am then. So, yeah, I don't see them as bad kids. You know, I just see them as kids trying to survive through an outlet that it is very, like, shunned down upon, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of how I viewed it as well growing up in neighborhoods like that, growing up in areas like that. Mm-hmm. I've always kind of been like, yeah, when you live in areas like that, you know the stick-up kids. You know who they are. And you're just like, when you even see them, you're like, yep, those are dudes that do that. Those are dudes that, like, may mug people or something like that. Like, you know, it's like a weird kind of hierarchy. Like, you'll know who are the people who are, like, beating people up randomly or who are the people who just mug people because they're trying to get money in your pocket. Like, you kind of know the difference between those people. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean those may be the people that you choose to hang out with on your own time.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you could sympathize with them to an extent because not just the American society, but I feel like society as a whole, it's just life. Life as a whole has a way of putting people in positions they don't want to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, of course, when you put in those situations, you have a decision to make every time. So that part you can't really excuse. There's always a decision to be made, right? It's like somebody can load the gun for you. You could shoot it or you could put it down. Like, that's how those situations go. But at the same time, life at times has a way of putting you in a position where you think your only option is shooting the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you grew up in certain areas where people just don't have it economically, people just don't have it financially, or don't have the education to kind of match, or don't have the bank account to match the education, because I'm not going to say the education, because a lot of people go to school and still don't even get what they thought they would get out of their experience or out of the life after school, so mm-hmm. that kind of comes with it, too. So I would just say, yeah, a lot of times it's easy to get forced into a situation that you didn't necessarily plan on being in or expect to be in. It's easy to go, those guys are kind of the evil,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the good guy, but a lot of us are only one or two decisions away from being the bad guy anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, like, I see that as injustice what society has molded them to. Because I think the setting for the film is housing in London, right? The south side of London, where it's housing. I like how before Sam, the nurse, was, like, really joining them, Moses trying to, in his way, say sorry, was just like, I didn't know that you live on the block. If I knew you lived in the block, I would have never robbed you. And
yeah.
That is how people are when they're in an area and you know them. Because, I mean, I live in Brownsville. And there's a saying, the same thing in the Bronx, the same saying. Like, we can tell when you're not from here. We can tell when you're not one of us. The way you walk, the way you dress, we can tell. If we see you around a lot of time, we know that you're from here. We're not going to bother you. We're not going to mess with you. Because either you know someone who knows someone who knows someone who's going to get at me. So it's like that. So that's what that reminds me of when he told her that. Of course, she was just like, oh, if I was in the block, that means I'm going to get robbed. You know, whatever. But
yeah, she was like, why does that matter?
Yeah, and it shouldn't matter. She's right. It shouldn't matter. That is kind of how it is. Unfortunate. You know, it sucks. But, you know, again, society, man. Fuck society.
Yeah, everybody has their rules, right? Mm-hmm. Like, say, from police to gangsters to mobsters, whatever you want to call people, or even low-level criminals, whatever the hell you want to call it, or supervillains. Everybody has their code, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has their code of things. Yeah, that's exactly how I took it, too. I know she was, of course, like, why does it matter? But it's like, nah, it kind of does, because when you live in it with people, people are a little more sympathetic because they're like, you know what it's like here. Mm-hmm. Versus like, let's say you're just a casual rich person or a casual white person or someone who just doesn't look like they belong here, who are just like passing through on the area. It's like, nah, yo, get out of here. We probably don't even want you here. Mm-hmm. I'll rob you because I don't want you to be here. Like, that's the kind of things that, that's the kind of way some people think about that. Mm-hmm. So I understand it. I understand on some level. Not the robbery part. That part I don't get, but I mean, I can understand wanting to, I can understand preying on someone who's not from your neighborhood because you look at your neighborhood like its own country. Like, a lot of people do that. They were like, oh, I'm from Brooklyn. And just saying that says a lot about a person. But someone goes like, I'm from Harlem, or I'm from England, or I'm Toronto. Like, people don't even, like, a lot of times, depending on how much pride you have and where you're from, I feel people don't even call out the country necessarily or the state. Mm-hmm. If they're somewhere else, they call out like their neighborhood specifically. Mm-hmm. I've caught myself doing it. Even when I've taken trips to other countries and I'm hanging out with friends and we meet strangers or something, the person's like, oh, where are you from? And I go, I'm from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel like I'm from America. I'm like, I'm from Brooklyn. The person will be like, oh. And the funny thing is, they know what you mean when you say that. They'll be like, oh, like, because it's just such a, at this point, a lot of these neighborhoods and cities are a brand. So, like, mm-hmm. people know them when you mention them.
Yeah. Even my neighborhood, they know where you're from. Just say the Ville. They're like, oh. I hate when I get that response. They're like, oh, I'm from the Ville. Oh. Like, what do you mean, oh? What does that mean?
Well, that means exactly what, like, how Sam kind of felt, when she was just like, yeah, I'm fucking monsters. Like, these kids robbed me for no reason. I ain't did nothing to them, but, like, it is what it is. You know, it's just what it is. You tell people, and, you know, you can see the difference. I've seen the difference in that when you live in neighborhoods that are being gentrified or changing. Mm-hmm. You could see the difference because how people even perceive it is different. Because I remember when I lived in a certain part of Brooklyn, and I was working at one of the ad agency jobs that I had. I was working there, and I remember I was talking to a coworker. We were just kind of, you know, chatting up, getting to know each other and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, how are you doing? Like, how are you going to spend your weekend or whatever? I was like, oh, I'm probably going to stay in the house or something like that. And she was like, oh, what neighborhood you live in? And I told her what neighborhood in Brooklyn, and she was like, oh, that's so trendy. And I kind of laughed, and I was like, nah, I've lived there most of my life. Like, everything around my neighborhood has changed, but I've always lived in this neighborhood.
Brooklyn's trendy. I just hearing that when people say, oh, Brooklyn's so trendy, I'm like, the fuck you mean it's trendy? What's trendy?
What our audience didn't know, this was the episode you find out Jackie is a gangster.
Yeah. I kind of am. Because, like, I literally chased someone who tried to steal something from me. I'm not joking. I'm dead ass.
I believe,
like, someone literally, he stole my phone, but I chased after his ass. I'm like, the cops were just like, why would you do that? I'm like, he stole my fucking phone. What do you mean what I did that? He's just like, you could have been dead. I'm like, he could have been dead, man, if I caught his ass.
Yeah, people gotta know who they picking
up. Yeah, I gotta hit him with a fucking brick, man. I could find shit like that in the ground. Like, don't come at me. Because, like, there's a saying, and I feel like you probably say it to yourself as well, where it's like, There's like the angry me, and then there's the angry version of you that's from your neighborhood. Like, you don't want that to come out. You know, people are like, oh, the Bronx is coming out of me. Like, you don't want the Ville going to come out of me. You get me mad enough, the Ville's going to come out of me. You don't want that to come out of me.
Now, you're 100% right. That is totally a thing. People don't know. And even for Moses and them, like, you don't know who you messing with. This lady could have easily, like, Sam, yeah, she's a nurse, and that's what we find out. Lady could have easily been, like, some martial artist or type of, like, she could have had a gun of her own. Like, there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
People gotta take into account. We try to rob someone. I remember this girl that I'm really good friends with, even to this day. She looks like a tiny little thing. She looks like really, like, you know, limber and slim and small. Like, she runs a lot and stuff like that, and does some training. And I remember we were just talking, and she was telling me, like, oh yeah, I do, like, I train in, like, she's like trains with MMA fighters.
Oh shit.
And I was like, hold up, what? She was like, yeah, like, that's my workout. Like, I don't really like going to the gym and lifting weight, so I like, my ex-boyfriend used to be an MMA fighter, so I would, like, go to his gym, and, like, we broke up, but I still go to the gym, and I, like, work out, and that's how I get my training in, is, like, learning how to fight better. And I just started remember laughing with her, and I had her, like, laughing to tears, because I was like, do you know how funny that is? And she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, you don't look innocent, so I'm not going to say that you look like a victim by any means, but I could just picture the hilarity if, like, somebody possibly tried to attack you, and then you, like, flip them into an armbar and break their arm. Like, it's not something that a criminal would expect.
Yeah.
but can totally be how the day goes. Like, he thinks he's going to snatch your purse. You may outrun him and then put him in some leg lock and break his arm and leg. Like, it's just, people got to realize who they're messing with a lot of the time. You can't just assume people are victims. So, yeah, it's interesting. Interesting scenario.
Look at the kids here. Freaking Dennis had like two damn swords.
That's just a black kid who like anime. You know, all my friends had swords.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that. And freaking the kids, the smaller kids, and freaking Moses was just like, go home. Go watch some Naruto.
Yeah, that scene. That scene cracked me up when the two kids came up to me. It was like, hey, man, we want to help y'all fight the aliens. He was like, go home, lock your door, do your homework, and watch Naruto. I was dying. I had to pause the movie, and I was just cracking up like, yo, this dude, I forgot all about that scene. That is hilarious, but so true. Go watch Naruto, man. He ain't going to be fighting no aliens.
For real. Like, Naruto's the shit, man. That gives you life lessons, okay?
Word, believe it.
It's my ninja way. Oh. But, yeah, definitely. And then these, I mean, yeah, these kids were stick-up kids, but again, like, they had, like, good arsenal. Like, what was it? What was his name? The one with the firecracker. Was the friends?
I think that was Pest.
Yo, he had like a whole arsenal of fucking firecrackers, fireworks, even the illegal shit. And I love how his grandma was just like, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'm fine, just, you know, chilling, whatever, see you later. And like, he was the dopest one though. Like, I was like scared he was gonna die. I was like, oh God, please don't let him die.
Yeah,
I was. I mean, it still sucks that his leg got almost bit off. I was like, okay, at least it's just the leg. Yeah, he was just too funny.
Yeah, I add on to that. I just loved how much the kids, how much they were so hyped to like go grab weapons. Yeah. When they thought it was about to go down.
Yeah,
like it's like they've been preparing for this their whole life. Like they see aliens, they beat one, and then they're like, oh shit, there's more. Time to go load up, and then everybody just goes grabs whatever weapon they could find. I just love that. That feels so authentic to me. That feels so much like something that me and my friends would have done, had some crazy shit like this happen. We'd have been like, word. All right, man, everybody go home and grab whatever you can, because apparently there's aliens on the way.
Listen, when you're a nerd and a blurred, you're prepared for everything. Everything you watch, you read, you play has been preparing you for the worst case scenario. I am ready for the zombie apocalypse, okay? I am ready for that shit.
I agree. I have keyblades in my house. I own a keyblade. Like, it ain't plastic. It's a wooden keyblade. I bought it off of Etsy. A wooden keyblade that I could actually beat the hell out of somebody with. I bought all kinds of anime weapons sitting lying around my house. I'm like, yo, we really do be prepared for this stuff.
Hell yeah. You think we just watch Naruto for entertainment or Dragon Ball Z for entertainment? We're learning shit. We're learning how to fight. We're learning ninja style.
Word. You know how many of my friends went and bought swords after watching Naruto and watching all that stuff? He was like, yo, we going to Chinatown. I want some kunais.
Oh my God.
I want a few ninjas. I was like, yo, for real? And my friend really bought them and they really sold them. I thought they were selling us cheap fake weapons, but the guy was like, no, be very careful because they're actually sharp. Here's how you sharpen it and just be safe. And we went home and we were cutting up apples in the hallway for like a half hour. That was a good time.
Oh my God. Cutting apples.
Yeah, my friend's grandma had a bag of apples, and we was just like, yo, let's go cut up some apples. And we went in the hallway, and we were just tossing apples at each other and slicing them in half. We were like, oh, snap, this joint is mad sharp. We had a good time.
God. But yeah, that just proves that we are prepared for anything. And these kids were so prepared for that shit. They were like, yep, we're ready. We got our bats. We got our swords. We got our firecrackers. Like, they were ready, man.
You know, some reviewers said they found it kind of hard to root for Moses and his group because they, like, robbed the lady. They mugged the lady at the beginning. I know you kind of touched on it already, but did you think it was kind of hard to like, root for them because of what was happening?
No. It wasn't. Like, it'd be different if it did something more horrendous to her. Then I'd be like, oh, hell no, they gotta die. But all they did was really just intimidate her, rob her. If anyone's listening to this, I'm not trying to condone it, you know, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't see it as an, oh, I hope these kids get there because of what they did to her. No, I didn't see it as that. If they did something more sinister, more horrendous, then, yeah, I'll be like, oh, fuck these guys. But no, I didn't really find it difficult. Like, I was, like, really getting anxious that they all survived. I was like, oh, my God, I hope they all make it.
Yeah.
You know? That was what I was feeling. You could tell the people who say that are probably, maybe majority, are non-Black.
Yeah. I would say clearly, because even in the article that we were reading when someone even said that, one of the guys we were saying, like, I think this movie in a way shows how people view, like, their view on criminals, or like, or how they view on people who've committed a crime ever. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of how I looked at it as well. Because I was like, once again, I felt bad that they were going through the situation they were going through with the aliens. Like, if the cops come and get them, cool, the cops come and get them. Like, that's the cop's job, right? Like, you come and arrest somebody who mugged somebody. Simple as that. But when the aliens involved, I'm like, in no way were I rooting for any of these people to die. I was hoping all of them made it. I was sad that, like, Jerome didn't make it and Dennis didn't make it. Dennis cracked me up because, like, he went on to become, like, Firestorm in Legend of Tomorrow.
I know.
Like, that's what he...
That was dope, yeah. But I like how his means of, like, really stepping up was after his dog died. He's like, this is for my dog. And he went preparing with his bike, his sword in hand, and, like, ready to, like, you know, slice some alien heads. Yeah, I was sad when he died, because I was just like, no, not Dennis.
Yeah. And I was sad how he died. Like, all of the aliens, that was, like, of course, near the end, but when they were at the girl's house and they were all talking about what they could do, and then they noticed all of the aliens outside of the door, mm-hmm. I mean, outside of the window, and then they just kind of burst through and started attacking everybody, and everyone was trying to figure out whatever they can. They kind of ganged up on Dennis. And you could see in that moment, like, Moses was kind of, like, too scared to help. Mm-hmm. But then, like, by the time he kind of realized he had no choice but to help, like, Dennis already had died. It was, like, it kind of sucked because it was kind of like he had moments like that. I feel like since Moses didn't have a lot of dialogue, he had moments where, like, everything he felt was thrown, like, through his face, mm-hmm. through his, like, his actions and expressions versus anything he ever really said. And that was definitely one where, like, you could see he was, like, just really, really scared. He was kind of shaking, even holding a sword.
I know. Then, you know, Dennis's head popped off and I was like, damn. What I really was hoping for was the drug dealer get killed. I was just like, God, can he die? Leave these fucking kids alone. Yeah. Like, fucking, I was so happy when he got his. I was like, yeah, good. Eat him.
Yeah, that dude was surviving purely off of rage.
Oh, my God. Like, again, I was watching this movie, you know, and then the scene with the elevator. Holy shit. Like, when he came out that elevator, you know, Bruce is waiting for the elevator, and then you see him covered in blood. Aliens are dead behind him. His boys are dead behind him. And he's just there like, go get the next one. I'm just like, what? How did he survive that? What? Like, oh my God. What is this man? Oh God. I was happy when he got his. I was like, leave these damn kids alone.
Yeah, word. He just would not let it go. There's literally aliens everywhere. He talk about his car.
Yeah. He's like, my car, my this, my that, aliens. I'm just like, bro, leave them alone, man. They're literally trying to save the block for your ass. Like, shut up.
Word. That did crack me up after the car scene, of course, where they crashed into him and he was telling him not to say alien. He was like, yo, it's aliens. He was like, say aliens one more time. He was like, gorilla wolf motherfucker. That shit had me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
He's like, what? There's a gorilla wolf motherfucker behind you.
That is, yeah, because they were just so, like, weird looking. Like, it was interesting how they can't see, but I think that they could only hear and smell. Like, that's all they could do. And I guess it makes sense why the firecrackers bothered them, because the sound is so loud in their ears. That's probably why, like, it affects them so much.
Yeah. I liked how they looked. It was like they were completely, like, pitch black, like pretty much like that paint that I've seen on like Facebook and stuff. That paint that just like it's the blackest of black, mm-hmm. and like it looks like a dark hole. It's pretty much how the aliens looked, and the only thing you could really see was like their teeth glowing.
Yeah, as Dennis says, blacker than his cousin.
Oh, this movie has such good dialogue.
Yeah, but it was just really interesting. Like, you couldn't tell them except for their like their glow in the dark teeth. You know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what, ultraviolet teeth, I guess, yeah, crazy. And Bruce is the one that kind of figured everything out about them, because, you know, when they were at the weed room, they have UV lights, you know, to keep, you know, the plants for lasting and shit, and they notice all the blood on Moses's coat, his body and stuff. And that's when Bruce was just like, that could be why they're after you. Because you have their scent on you, their blood on you, their pheromones. They're chasing after you. That's why. And they tested it with Sam, you know, first going out, and they didn't even care for her. And I was just like, wow, fucking Bruce. And he was just like, mind you, I'm doing all of this being high. Like, I love when he said that. He was like, I'm doing all of this while being high right now.
I love how, what was it? Yeah, I think it was past. It might have been past. I think it was. Who was it? He was the one that was stuck in the garbage can for like most of the movie.
Spencer. I think that was Spencer. Was that Spencer?
Okay, yeah, it might have been Spencer.
I felt so bad when he was calling Dennis's phone and he wasn't picking up. I was like, he doesn't know he's dead. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But those kids were badass, man. They came and saved him. Freaking like. Like throwing gasoline and lighting the thing on fire, and then the cops came and they went and hide inside the garbage can. They're like, what are you doing here? Like, the cops, like, you serious? We're serious.
Of course the cops show up because they were looking for somebody, but then they came up an even bigger force because two cops were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops at no point were involved with like helping get rid of the aliens. They were just surrounding the block to catch who did it, who killed their officers. And I'm like, that's so accurate.
Yeah.
And so fucked up at the same time. Even so much so that the character even said at the end, he said, why y'all always arrest the wrong people?
Yeah. They even mentioned him with that girl. I think either Dennis's cousin or whatever. And she was just, because this was when Sam was first initiating, like, oh, we should call the cops. Maybe we can tell the truth. Maybe they'll help us with the aliens. And the girl was just like, they're not going to believe you. Besides, they're not going to arrest who really did it. They're going to arrest all of these kids. That's what they're going to arrest.
Yep.
And that's essentially what happened. Because no one knew what happened. No one knew what happened with the aliens. They have no idea that these kids were freaking fighting aliens. You know, the cops just appear when, you know, freaking Moses blows up the apartment. Because he's trying to kill all the aliens. And all they see is just, you know, a kid who did a whole bunch of shenanigans and was just like, okay, we're gonna bust him. And I was just like, oh, God, typical. Fucking typical.
Honestly, really played into that trope about how the cops always show up at the end of horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for real.
So it kind of was a nice spin on that where it was like, yeah, they showed up, but they also here for the person that didn't do it.
Yeah, I like how Sam did try her best to at least defend the boys. When they were asking him, like, oh, these are the ones who robbed you, right? And she was just like, no, they're my neighbors. They saved me. They protected me. So I like how she just tried to, like, change the narrative, you know, because of what she went through with the boys.
What did you think of her character overall? What do you think of Sam?
Typical. I was like, average Karen, whatever. for a while, because... I mean, it's funny because I had a feeling it was going to happen to her. I was just like, girl, you're walking around in an alleyway where it's isolated. It's like a festival going on. Like, the hell's wrong with you? Like, you shouldn't do that. I mean, it sucks that we can't do that. We should be able to do that, but we can't because we're women. But I was just like, damn. So I knew something was going to happen. And then, you know, she told the cops what happened, you know, how Moses was dressed and looked like. You know, she was just typical, like, oh, don't hurt me, type of girl, you know? And then when she saw that the boys were not lying about the aliens, and she was just like, holy shit, real, telling the truth. And she almost walked out on them. But then that whole scene cracked me up because she was almost going to walk out on them. Then she hears the aliens and she goes back and she's like, so I'm going to stick with you guys. I'm like, of course you're going to stick with them. You're hearing a whole thing of aliens on the other side. Like, of course you're going to stick with them. It's not because you want to help them. Because you're scared. And you have nowhere else to go. But then, you know, the narrative changed where she was helping them. You know, she actually was, you know, being there for them, talking to them. So, like, she started to change a little bit, you know.
And she saved Moses.
Yeah. It shows that how she was becoming very, like, empathetic towards him towards the end. You know, when she found out that he's basically lives by himself. You know, he's only 15, 16. You know, and all the stuff. And she basically did, like, forgive him in a sense for what happened.
I don't hate her character. Like, she was in a bad spot, right? Like, to add to the alleyway point, I'm not going to lie. Even as a grown-ass man, I do not walk into alleyways. because it's just it's a closed space. You only got two ways to go, either the way you came in through or the way that you're trying to get out of, and that's not good because somebody cut off both sides and now you're just stuck. So I'd avoid alleyways. I like to go to Canada a lot, like specifically like Toronto. I love Toronto. It's like really dope. So if anyone here from there who's listening, shout out. I love it there. I miss going there. Unfortunately, you know, COVID. But they have a lot of alleyways and stuff like that in different parts of like downtown Toronto. It's actually really beautiful. The alleyways are like full of artwork and stuff like that. But I ain't gonna lie to you. Just like growing up where I've grown up and seeing some of the things I've seen, I've been like, I ain't about to just walk down the alleyway at nighttime.
Yeah.
I'll do it during the day, but nighttime? Nah, nighttime, I'm not walking down the alleyway. It'll take the long way around. I ain't doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't take a genius to understand that. The other part that I found really, like, really, really good was when they were trying to figure out why. Like, why the aliens are here, who brought them. And then Moses goes on to a monologue, was just like, it's probably the government just trying to kill black boys. Like, first the drugs, then the cops, and now monsters. If anyone who watches this movie doesn't understand, like, oh, that was kind of out of place. No, it was perfectly placed for a reason. The reason why he said that, again, the movie was so much more than a sci-fi movie. It was also political. Yeah. And I think it was perfectly placed when he said that. You know, you see everyone. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of the kids also laughed at him, like, oh, you just joke. But, like, he really did feel that's the reason. And I feel like when you're in a neighborhood like that, you always feel like that. Like, oh, it's the government. Sometimes it is, you know? Most of the time, it is them.
Yeah.
You know? And I just love that line. I love that whole monologue he had. Because it was, like, the most realest thing that anyone has ever said. And the most relatable thing, too. And it still holds up to this day. You know? Like, that still hits today.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. I remember even the first time I saw the film, when he said that, I was like, I can't even laugh at it because it don't sound too far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just looking historically at, like, different things. You know, there's so many parts of history that I don't know, even though I'm black, and things have happened to people probably from my family or even otherwise, or just people who look like me or people who look like you. There's so many parts of history that I don't know. There's so many things that could have been, so many atrocities that could have been committed that I have no awareness of, because it's not like a short list of these were these three things. It's a laundry list of things. Mm-hmm. And you find out at times that sometimes the government was involved, whether it was them directly or indirectly, or just a bunch of civilians who kind of took it on their own, and then the government chose not to intervene. So there's a lot of things there, and there's a lot of history there that kind of makes sense. It all sounds like conspiracy theory, and I guess in some ways it can be, but I think when people talk about conspiracy theories, and I'm not talking about the crazy shit like QAnon, that's some other shit. Honestly, I would say that's some white people shit. Like, that's something else entirely. When I'm talking about, like, the government or, like, the state, like, intentionally displacing people or disenfranchising, like, black people, whether it's voting or housing or redlining and
education,
killing civil rights leaders, whatever it is, education, like, it's a long, long laundry list of things that have been done and still are in effect or have lingering effects to this day. When you talk about those things, it sounds like conspiracy theory a lot of the time. It sounds like some what do they call it? Tinfoil hat shit, like my man in Neuro.
Yeah.
it sounds like that, but then you find out as like history goes on, and whether you say it's due to the country getting better or the people who are in government maybe getting better, they come back and they realize, oh, like this action that was taken maybe 40 years ago led to this thing, and this is a continued problem to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you go, oh shit, like the thing that people used to joke about, what people used to say was crazy, was actually what was really happening. So when Moses said that, I was like, I wouldn't be able to argue with you if you did say it, because there's so many crazy things you've seen stacked against you and so many things you've probably seen just on a daily that a child of your age should have never seen.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hard to argue with someone who has that point of view.
Yeah.
you can't prove it at the moment, but I can't necessarily argue with you about it or debate you.
Yeah, and again, like, it was the most realest thing ever. Realest thing ever. Because I was just like, you know what? Because again, we think about it. There was no one there. Nobody was searching for them. Nobody, you know, was curious about what was going on in the neighborhood, and specifically the block. It was specifically their block. So when you think about it, he actually might have been right. You know, where the hell did they come from? Why did they come from? You know, why that area?
Word. Why they landed right here of all places? Like, I remember one character, I forgot which character set up. Somebody was like, this could have been happening everywhere. The cops could just all be busy. Someone's like, nah, but what if it's just here? Like, what if it's just here? Because the cops are just blocking off this area. So what if it's just here? And I'm like, yeah, that is a double-edged sword, right? Because I get that the cops are bolting off the place because they lost two of their own, and they're trying to catch the person who not just robbed this woman, but who committed these crimes and have killed the few bodies that are laying around in this area, because mm-hmm. not like these aliens necessarily clean up after themselves that they killed. The bodies are just there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand the cops bordering off to figure out who's behind all of these murders, but at the same time, don't seem like y'all doing the most investigative work to figure out what's leading to some of these things, whether or not some of the people involved could be in danger or if anyone's safe. Like, y'all just basically cut communication. It's almost like a zombie apocalypse where they, like, put the hazard tape up and they be like, can't nobody go within this area? That's pretty much what they did, but except it trapped the victims and the attackers in the same space. It trapped the attackers. It just trapped the victim.
Yeah. For real. Because, like, it was crazy. Like, you didn't see anywhere. And then Pez was just like, oh, there's only one chopper flying around. Only one. There should have been more, a whole bunch, if they were ever. And there were so many of them, too. It wasn't like it was just one or two aliens. Yeah. There was a huge amount of aliens that were flying down. And, you know, it was taking place during a festival as well. So I'm sure people must have took, like, oh, look, fireworks, and had no idea what it was. And it was just really, really interesting, crazy. Because, again, he could have been right, you know? Like, I mean, yeah, his friends laughed about it. But, like, honestly, I think he was right about that. Watching the movie, you don't really get an explanation of, like, why. You know, you don't see them watching the news about it, nothing in the news, no one's talking about it. Even the girls were just like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, they didn't know anything until they attacked because, you know, the pharaohs that Bruce mentioned.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a reflection of society that things like that can be believed.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds jaded and dark and excessive and over the top. But at the same time, when you put in a situation like that, you start to think everything is against you.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher at school is against you. The dude at the corner store is against you. The dude who stepped on your shoe is against you. The lady who actually dresses really well is against you. The rich guy up the block is against you. Like, everybody feels like they're just against you because shit just ain't falling your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even one of the girls said to him when they first came in there, she was like, Moses, what'd you get into this time? Because there's always something with you. Either you're getting arrested or somebody is getting robbed or something. Like, what is it with you? And then after Dennis died, and before they realized what was going on, like, what was causing it, they were like, yo, the girls ran out, and they were like, yo, I'm getting away from you, Moses. People always die around you.
Yeah, that was really fucked up, though. That was just like,
yeah,
leave my man alone, yo. Leave him alone. He's been through a lot.
Yeah, word. Even shed a tear.
Mm-hmm.
Shed that one little Indian tear.
I hate you. Anyway. But yeah, but this movie was definitely like a first for a lot. You know, John Boyega, first movie he acted in. I think the kid who plays Dennis was his first role, I believe. And even the director, you know, I believe his name was Joe Cornish.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first movie, his first debut film. And he went to later, I think, direct Ant-Man. I think he did, or he was offered it. I don't know, but I'm just like, wow, you came from this small thing to, like, now, you know, big top. And the same thing with John Boyega, you know, like, he's an amazing actor. It's funny because, again, like, yep, you know, we talked about Moses, his monologue about, you know, the monsters and stuff. And, you know, I came across an article that said that how the monsters, in a way, is a metaphor for the systematic, you know, system dehumanizing and murdering, particularly Black people. Like, it is a metaphor for that if you think about it. And it's kind of true. You know, you see it, you know, out of all the, you know, characters that were being killed, you know, Dennis was killed. Jerome was killed, which I was, like, really sad about.
Yeah,
I was like, no. Moses was almost killed, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's again, what he did, like, Cornish was, like, it was pretty smart. You know, it's really rare when you get movies like this that are, again, like, multiple genres in one and then can use a memes for society. Like how we said before with zombies. Zombie is a metaphor for society, mm-hmm. for humanity. He did a good job by using the monsters for that. Like, this is the system. This is the unfair system that, you know, children or any person like Moses and areas like that have to face. And it's just like really brilliant.
Yeah, it's really well done. I always wonder at times. I feel like horror is the one of the few genres that can do this kind of stuff really well. Horror can just do social commentary so well. And I don't know why necessarily. Maybe it has to do with the fear element, but it does social commentary so well. It does, even though you're looking at crazy monsters and crazy things happening, all types of inhumane things you wouldn't even expect in some films. It just does social commentary like so well. Like, why do you think so?
I think because, like, there's a word for it, but I forgot what it was. But, like, I feel because we don't want to face reality. So I feel like horror movies, like, filmmakers and writers and directors use it as a meme to, like, entertain us while also not putting it in our faces. We see all the time in the news. The news is a big horror film. Let's be real. You know, life is a big yeah. horror film. And I feel that's the reason why, because you're being entertained. So you're not really like realizing that you're looking in the mirror. Because again, like zombie movies is a metaphor for humanity. You know, the zombies aren't the monsters. We're the monsters, you know, and this go back to Frankenstein. You know, Dr. Frankenstein was the monster. You know, the monster wasn't really a bad creature. He didn't know what the hell he was doing. You know, he was just brought to life. He had no idea what feelings were, what right or wrong was, all the stuff. Humans are the monster. Guillermo del Toro is also known for that. You know, he uses mm-hmm. horror films as a meme to like sympathize the creature and then making the humans be the true monsters. And a great film that I could think about that kind of like reminds me of Attack of the Block with the whole like political side of it is Pan's Labyrinth. That's a perfect movie that if you want to get a gist of like fantasy, horror, and political side, because that movie was just like, wow, beautiful. And I think it's that. I think, you know, again, like filmmakers, directors, and writers use it as a means of entertainment, but also not putting it in your face of like, so you're a monster now. So here's what you're doing to society, you know, because like, people don't like to face reality. We don't like to see the truth. We don't like to face it. We don't like to be shown about how the world is unfair for a certain amount of people, you know, because people still live in a bubble. People are still surprised. I mean, look at today, what happened, you know, in the Capitol. People are just like, this is not my America. It is. You just never realized it because you're in a bubble, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that is why, you know, people use horror as a sense of telling a story and reflecting of society. It's the perfect meme because life is a horror story.
It does feel like the perfect genre for it. I would say more than any other I could possibly think of. Like, horror does seem like the perfect space for that.
Mm-hmm.
Get the monsters, get all of that stuff. And I feel like even... I guess you can call it budget constraints, but even in the way that I feel like deaths are done at times in a lot of movies, kind of tell you the way that the character is either respected or portrayed. Like, even in this film, right? I think of the deaths for Dennis and Jerome, we got to feel it, like, even after, right? Like, they weren't super gruesome in terms of what they showed us. You mainly see the blood splash, and then the character is kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, probably the most we got was, like, pretty much you saw the blood. And then we saw like his head, the helmet, which similarly would have his head inside of it, kind of pop off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of all we got out of it. Versus the drug dealer, who was like a big problem the entire film and essentially the secondary villain. When he got, you saw like all of the creatures around him. It was like a really tight shot on how they got into him. And it was kind of something we got to live with for a moment where we go, yeah, this dude finally got his comeuppance. This kind of shows you like how we view the character and how the film views the character, which I think is really well done, mm-hmm. because despite Jerome and Dennis and Moses and all of those guys like essentially being like criminals at the beginning of the film, they still got like sympathetic deaths. It wasn't just like, oh, well, fuck them, they gone. It was like, nah, Moses was like, kind of sucks, these dudes follow me, and then now they're like gone. It's terrible. Like, how do I deal with this? Like, it was pretty cool. I really like that. And this isn't the only film that does that like that, but this, I feel like that's a good thing about this film, and that it doesn't just discard bodies. Like, every death kind of hurts.
Most definitely. And I like how this film kind of resurfaced. because it didn't really do well in the box office from what I read. It kind of came and went, but then it resurfaced because, you know, 2020 was a roller coaster ride. We're still feeling the remnants of it, you know, let's be real.
Yeah.
But when all the Black Lives Matter protests were going on, and this was like nation, this was everywhere, all around the country. It was happening not just in the US, it was happening
Other countries,
it
everywhere.
Was happening in Asia, it was happening in Europe. And the reason why this movie resurfaced was because of John Boyega. He gave a speech at a protest in London. And before he gave it, he was saying that how, like, he was scared that it was going to ruin his career. But, of course, a lot of other actors was just like, we got your back. If anything happens, we got your back. With his speech, a lot of people were just like, oh, my God, this is just like Attack on a Block. This is just like his character for Attack on a Block. And I like how, because the movie resurfaced, there's, like, talks of a potential sequel now. Because it was resurfaced, because it was revisited, and people are now like learning, who didn't really miss, like me, I missed out on it, and people are now like discovering it and be like, oh my God, this movie was brilliant, this movie was great, blah, blah. So I like how it has that potential now of like, you know what, we should do a sequel now for it. That would be interesting too. Would it still be in London? You know, would it still be the same kids grown up? Or would it be another area now that gets attacked, you know, by these alien creatures? But I just love that because of John Boyega's speech, like, that's what resurfaced the film.
But yeah, that's pretty great, man. That's awesome. That's an awesome way for a film to kind of jump back in the limelight. And she just shows how relevant it is. Like, yes, the movie came out in 2011, and it wasn't very long in terms of actual time. 9 years is not crazy long, but in terms of how 2020 felt like 30 years, it's been a long time.
Yeah, since, for real.
Since 2011. So yeah, it's really cool that the movie resurfaced like that. It deserves it. The movie definitely deserves its flowers. Some movies just don't get their flowers when they come out, but this movie definitely deserves it, and it should be a, I would say, a staple. It should be a staple in horror because it's unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. The message is there. It's not so grim that, like, you couldn't watch it with kids. Like, it's not so grim that it would be off-putting to people who normally don't watch horror.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, so many... such a, like, diverse cast. Like, the only really, like, white person in it is Sam. So, like, this movie would appeal to definitely a lot of people that I know, just a lot of people in general, in my opinion.
That's also why people kind of felt a certain way about it, because it was we see it now, but back then, again, it was so rare. And they were saying that how, like, this movie was so unique because it had a mostly black cast. The lead roles were mostly black. You know, the only person that was probably white in that group was Pez. That was it, you know, in the group of kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have secondary characters, Bruce, you know, the other guy, Sam.
The dude from Hot Fuzz and all that. I forgot his character.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a rarity, you know, and that's why people deemed it as, and well, it's rare. And, you know, now in 2021, I still kind of hate that term. That, oh yeah, it's a rarity, it's unique. Like, it shouldn't be unique, it should be common, you know, it should be every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, we're entering, you know 2021, you know, the new Black History Month, and I feel like this should, like you said, it should be a staple, and we should have more movies like this. You know, we need more movies like this, especially now, especially with everything going around.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's important, and I want to be able to be in an era where we no longer have to use those terms. We're like, oh yeah, this is a rarity because of this cast. This is unique because of the lead roles. I don't want to hear that anymore. You know, like, I want to live in an era where I don't have to hear those words talking about a cast that's primarily black.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that anymore. I just want to hear, like, yeah, this was a great cast, period.
Facts.
For real.
And you know what? Before we get out of here, I want to just mention one last scene, because the scene was so dope, and it is the end of the film. How it all ends, for those who haven't seen it. Well, Moses, of course, he saves the day. He lures all of these aliens into his house, and he blows up his apartment to save his block. And he's, of course, immediately arrested, because the cops finally come inside of the building. He is immediately arrested. He drops a samurai sword and all of that. They arrest him, take him to the car. They grab one of his friends, take him to the car. They lock him in. At this point, the whole neighborhood is outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, yo, what's going on? Why are you arresting him? He's the one who saved the day. Like, there were these aliens blowing over the place. Like, where were you guys? And everyone's like, where were you when this was all happening? And then Sam, they asked her, like, aren't these the people who mugged you? She's like, no, these are my neighbors. As Jackie alluded to earlier, she's like, these are my neighbors. They actually saved me tonight. And they're sitting in there, and his friends start chanting Moses, and the whole neighborhood is like, Moses, Moses. It was like a really, really dope scene. It was like really nice. Everyone just kind of showed appreciation for what he did because no one else would have. And they were just like, yo, he saved a block. That's so dope. And everybody chanted his name. And the movie ends with Moses' friend. I forgot which one was in the car with him.
Pez.
Okay, yeah. He was in the car with him. He was like, yo, Moses, you hear that? They chanting your name. And he just kind of gave that John Boyega smirk.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, yeah. And then it just kind of ended. It was real nice. It was a nice moment of him getting some appreciation for like what he did.
I love that scene too. It was so good. Like, I know a lot of people were just like kind of confused about that. And they're like, wait, what does this mean? Cliffhanger. Like, no, he finally got what he wanted because Moses kind of wanted to be recognized, you know, and he finally got it. He was finally recognized for what he did. You know, he did save the block. You know, it's funny because like he went in. I think Sam kind of knew it, too, that he was ready to sacrifice himself if he had to. And even I was just like, oh, my God, he's going to sacrifice himself. Oh, my God. But luckily he didn't. I was so glad he survived. I was like, oh my God, thank you. I don't know how the hell he survived. But I was glad that he did. And yeah, that scene is so, so iconic too. You know, they're all chanting Moses. And it was satisfying. It's a very satisfying ending.
Well, before we get out of here, last thing I'm going to say before I pass to Jackie. As always, thank you for listening. We're going to keep bringing you the Black History stuff this month. We're going to do other months. We're going to keep bringing this stuff in because we want to talk about all, not just films that we love, but also films from a little bit of everyone, different cultures, all of that stuff. And if that's why, if you're listening, that should be why you're listening. Like we have a good time cracking jokes and all of that, but it's also fun to talk about these films that we have and haven't seen that are from all over the globe. This was London this time, which was dope. Place I plan on visiting in the future, which is great. But yep, thank you. Please follow us on Instagram if you aren't already. We don't have a Twitter anymore, as Jackie mentioned before. So please follow us on Instagram, Terranova Pod. Feel free to check out the website. If you want to be a guest, you can hop in the DMs and be like, yo, I want to talk about this movie. Like, you could come at us just like that if you want to, and we'll set something up. But yeah, thank you for listening, and I'm past Jackie.
Yeah, we also have a Facebook group. So if you guys want to like join our Facebook group, you could do that too. Come in, talk about stuff. You can even give us suggestions if you want of certain movies. But we're not doing crazy-ass movies. If someone suggested, who is this? Do the human centipede. I'm blocking your ass. I'm sorry. I'm blocking you. We're not doing that. No. No. No.
I ain't gonna lie. That's one I don't want to do. That's
yeah. But in that note, ooh, ghost goodbye.